Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Now at 6, crews have been working through the night to clean up after a powerful storm took down trees and power lines across the area. We have team coverage of the effort to get power back on for thousands of people.
And here's what caused all that severe weather last night. We had a cold front sweeping through with a severe thunderstorm watch and warnings. I'll show you what happens behind this front today.
And we're going to take a look at reactions as several people on both sides of the aisle are responding after the bill that was overridden and is now going to be taking effect.
It is straight up 6 o'clock. You're in the right place to get your Wednesday started. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. You're glad you're making us part of your day as we get started here on a Wednesday. Those storms rumbled through last night. Woke up some, not Renee.
Nope, I was in a deep sleep.
Yes, woo. Yes, in a good place.
Yeah.
But they left their mark in some places. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
Yeah, we had a lot of trees down with this. And of course, it's all over now. This is a live look at downtown Durham. You can just see that sun trying to break through some of the clouds there. It'll be variably cloudy. We're not going to instantly clear things out behind this front. And right now it is 67 degrees and our wind's still coming out of the west southwest. We need to get into a northerly flow to clear us out, drop our humidity and our temperatures. And we don't really see that until tomorrow. That's going to come with the front that you can see up to the north. But once again, here's a look at the front that came through overnight last night. We had a line of severe storms. We had wind damage with this. You can see some of the power outages still here in Wake County and Johnston County in particular, but also up in Granville County and Edgecombe County. We had some scattered power outages as well. So it'll take a little time to get those all repaired. Futurecast showing a mix of sun and clouds today. A little sprinkle down to the south around 9 or 10 this morning. And then that cold front that's up to the north sinks southward right around the time of the evening commute. Very little, if any, rain out of this. But then once that moves through, it's going to open the door to some cooler air. It cools off nicely tonight and tomorrow looks absolutely beautiful. Our temperature this afternoon will climb to around 81 and it stays just a touch humid with some lingering cloud cover. Still tracking the potential for some showers and storms over the weekend. I'll show you the potential timeline of that front coming up, Brian.
It is 6:01 right now, and we do have a couple of trees reported down. I've seen some indications in the past couple of minutes that these may be cleared at this point. But just a heads up on 264 eastbound, right around Highway 39, leaving Zebulon, heading back toward Middlesex, and also in the Youngsville area, downtown on Main Street. And as Elizabeth mentioned, we also have some power outages this morning that could take out some of the traffic signal, so you do need to be careful. A couple of notable outages, one in southeast Raleigh around Jones Sausage Road, Rock Quarry Road, New Hope Road, also in the western part of Johnston County around the Highway 5042 intersection there, not too far from the Cleveland community. We'll watch those sensors, let you know how things are developing.
Breaking news, about 2,300 customers in Wake County are without electricity at this hour as crews work to clean up the mess from severe storms overnight. You can see the outages on this map from Duke Energy. Trees knocked over during the storms are partly to blame. We have team coverage of two big problem spots this morning. Michael Grace is in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker at one outage area. But we want to begin with WRAL's Laura Levine, who is live on St. Mary Street in Raleigh, where crews are trying to clear a massive tree blocking the road. Laura, how's it going?
Renee, yes, the crews here have been working for several hours now, and they really have a big project on their hands. And now that the sun is coming up a bit, you can have a better look at what's going on here. Now you can see many crews working to kind of break up this large tree into pieces so that they're able to put it onto a dump truck. But this is really a twofold project. They have crews working to remove the tree. They also have Duke Energy crews working to restore down power lines. Now pieces of the tree branches fell on some power lines here. 30 minutes ago, I reported that they had about nearly 40 customers without power here. I can report now that it is improving, that we have 12 customers without power here on Lake Drive and St. Mary Street. You can see some folks who are just waking up here, taking pictures and kind of looking at some of the damage. This is going to take still some time for them to really get this tree out of the way. A lot of debris here in the middle of the road. So if you are traveling within this neighborhood, just take your time. We've seen a lot of cars coming down St. Mary Street and stopping and looking. Just take your time to make your way through. We had a RPD cruiser on the scene about 15 minutes ago, but they have left. So again, just take it easy if you are traveling in this area. We'll keep you updated on the progress made here to remove this tree. I'll send things over to Michael Grace, who is in Southeast Raleigh with another tree down.
Yeah, good morning, Laura. I'm over on Drayford Way, right off Jones Sausage Road, and these Duke Energy crews are attaching the last few wires here after a pretty massive pine tree fell on it earlier in the night. And I want to get you to this video of what that scene looked like. You can see that large tree weighing down on those wires almost to street level, and they've had this part of Drayford Way, which is a dead-end street, blocked off for a number of hours now. And the reason why this cleanup has taken particularly long, Duke Energy workers tell me this area is connected to what's called a double connector. So they actually have to go to one of these poles, make sure everything is grounded, and then go back to where that tree fell in order to continue to work. So it's been a very tedious process for these workers, but they are in these last finishing stages as they connect to these wires. Just definitely want a heads up. Watch out for any of this debris. They still got a lot of some tree limbs here in the street, and these traffic lights, they might not be up yet. So as Brian has been saying throughout the newscast, just treat that as a four-way stop. Live in Raleigh, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Michael, thanks. Download the WRAL Weather app to keep track of severe weather threats 24 hours a day. The app is available for Apple and Android devices.
New abortion restrictions are now law in North Carolina and will take effect starting in July. There's new reaction coming in this morning, also following the first major shift in this issue in our state in decades. WRAL's Nia Harden is live at the legislative building this morning with what has happened, what's new with this, and what's next, Nia.
Yeah, Jeff, well, as you just said, this is going to take effect in July. That's going to be July 1st when that's going to go into effect. And there are people who are responding now. We saw protesters just hours ago that were here, and now they are reacting to the news. Protesters can be heard screaming shame as they're told to leave the gallery. While Democrats pushed to make their points on how the bill changes would affect women, Republicans stood firm in overriding the veto. We spoke to one man who says he was here to show his support for the bill passing.
To let our legislators know that we support life and that we want them to support life. They say the majority is for murder, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I feel really strongly that women should have the right to make those decisions. And I know this is a 12-week whip ban, but with all the restrictions, it's going to really, really limit access to abortion at all for many of the women in North Carolina.
Now, the White House sent out a statement saying, in part, that they will continue to work alongside Governor Cooper, state legislators, and Americans who are fighting to protect access to reproductive health care in the face of relentless attacks. In our next half hour, we're going to hear what Republicans are saying after overriding that bill. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Thanks for that. We can tell you what Governor Cooper is saying. He released a statement after the veto override saying, quote, North Carolinians now understand that Republicans are unified in their assault on women's reproductive freedom. I will continue doing everything I can to protect abortion access in North Carolina because women's lives depend on it. To get more reaction on this abortion law and an in-depth look at how it'll affect millions of women and girls across North Carolina, you can head to the WRAL News app or visit WRAL.com.
Breaking overnight, an Amtrak train is running again after hitting and killing a man near Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh. Amtrak put out a tweet after 1 a.m. saying Piedmont Train 78 resumed its trip after the crash before 11 last night. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene. Raleigh police say the man was walking on the track when the train hit him. That man has not been identified yet. The train also hit a car about 100 yards away near the intersection with Hillsborough Street.
New this morning, a driver is facing a DWI charge after crashing into a construction vehicle in Johnston County. Authorities say a woman driving westbound on U.S. 70 near Wilson's Mills hit the back of a DOT contracted truck. This happened about 10:30 last night in a construction zone on the highway. The woman was taken to the Wake Med Hospital for treatment of minor injuries. A pet cat she had riding in her car was killed. The State Highway Patrol is investigating.
The Wake County Public School System is looking to address the ongoing bus driver shortage. A job fair for drivers and bus safety assistants runs from 2 to 4 this afternoon on 111 Corning Road in Cary. A spokesperson told us they're still looking to fill 290 positions as of May 5th. The school board approved new bonuses and pay raises earlier this year, but the school system says it has not yet seen an increase in applicants.
New rules for the books available for your kids in school. The changes Wake County schools are making in the library and in the classroom.
And I'm Ken Smith. This is Kayla Unbehan, missing for 6 years. Well, this morning back home with her family, we'll tell you how a true crime program helped reunite Kayla with her family.
And we take a live look at what's happening outside right now. Looking at a warm day today with 81 degrees. We're looking at very pleasant conditions on Thursday and Friday. But we do have the chance of some scattered storms over the weekend. We'll walk through the timeline coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
At 6:12, we take a live look around the area at 67 in Wilson, 67 in Durham, and in Fayetteville. The temperatures are holding in the mid to upper 60s. We haven't seen a big push of cool, dry air coming in. That's likely to happen much later today. But we are beginning to see some of the clouds breaking up a bit after our front moved through early this morning. Right now, it's 67 in Fayetteville, 66 in Tarboro, 67 in Rocky Mount, and in Goldsboro. So temperatures are fairly uniform. The kids heading out to the bus stop may or may not really need a jacket with these nice mild temperatures. Around lunchtime, if they're out of the playground, 78. And as they're getting off the bus, our high temperature will be in the low 80s. Today stays mostly dry, but the clouds are going to stick around, and so will some of the humidity. That changes tomorrow. I'll show you how much more comfortable it will feel. Coming up, Brian.
6:13 with a check of weather and traffic every 10 minutes. Of course, with those storms overnight, a lot of us are seeing some power outages, and you need to look out for malfunctioning traffic signals in some spots, including in southeast Raleigh and in southeastern Wake County this morning. Around the rest of the triangle, pretty quiet overall. No other crashes showing up right now in Raleigh, Durham, or Chapel Hill. We will take a look at that live camera now at I-40 at South Saunders Street with both directions looking all right. That westbound traffic heading away from us. And so far, 40 westbound through Wake County is all clear from 42 in Johnston County all the way out toward 540 near RTP, Jeff.
Brian, other news we're following today. A Fayetteville man will be in court facing a murder charge in the shooting death of a woman in Hope Mills. Deputies arrested 21-year-old Josephus Jones III yesterday. He's charged in the death of 18-year-old Victoria Jackson. Authorities say Jackson was one of two people shot on Gilchrist Mills Drive in Hope Mills on April 17th. She died at the scene. Jones and another man, 22-year-old Jaquan Blanshaw, were named as suspects. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office is still looking for Blanshaw. He is also facing charges for murder.
A Fort Bragg soldier is now facing more charges connected to child sex crimes. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says deputies arrested Andrew Gomez of Spring Lake after an investigation lasting months. This is a story we first told you about in March. Deputies say the updated charges stem from four people coming forward. Gomez was originally arrested months ago, accused of recording himself having sex with women without their consent.
A 15-year-old girl is back home safe this morning after she'd been reported missing for 6 years. Someone spotted Kayla Unbehan in Asheville, North Carolina, and notified authorities. The true crime series Unsolved Mysteries is getting a lot of credit for helping to reunite Kayla with her family. Ken Smith is here with some background on this story and the growing interest in true crime programs. Ken?
You know, Jeff, many of us are captivated with true crime programs, podcasts, and TV series. We're drawn into the puzzle pieces, the clues, and the intrigue of solving a case. Well, this all came together for Kayla Unbehan and her family. Back in 2017, her father won full custody of her. Her mother was allowed supervised visits, but abducted her daughter from a suburb in Illinois when she was 9 years old. Kayla's story was featured on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries about parental abductions. Well, this case shows not only the popularity of these types of shows, but also how America's true crime obsession can actually help solve cold cases.
It's moments like these that really just give us the drive to keep going. It gives searching families out there who are still missing their own children, it gives them the hope and the drive to keep going and keep the fight to find missing children and to bring them all home safely.
Well, Kayla is back home with her father, Ryan Ercerca, in Illinois this morning. He says he is overjoyed and grateful to everyone who helped bring his daughter home safely. He and his family never gave up hope. Well, stay tuned for the Today Show coming up at 7. More with Dr. Bischoff and how America's true crime obsession is helping to reunite more families and solve more cold cases all across this country. Benay.
Ken, thanks. The Wake County School Board approved a revised policy on how books and other educational materials are selected. It would require educators to spend more time reviewing books that are selected for libraries and for classroom read-alouds. The changes include prohibiting materials that are pervasively vulgar, though that term is not defined more specifically in state law nor policy.
WREL will have live team coverage leading up to Game 1 of the NHL's Eastern Conference Final tomorrow night at PNC Arena. We'll be at PNC all day, starting with our morning news, and you can join us at 7:30 for a special pregame coverage of all the Canes' excitement. We will walk you through what to look for during this big series with the Panthers. Everything you need to know before watching the puck drop at 8. And then after the game, you can turn to us for post-game coverage during our late news. At 11:25, we'll have an exclusive post-game show, and you will hear from fans, players, and, of course, Coach Rod Brind'Amour after that Game 1 on home ice. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now with a look at the satellite. As we saw, those storms moved off and we're in for a good couple of days.
Yeah, they came in fairly late, especially across the Triangle area. We didn't see those moving in until between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. So I know it probably woke up a lot of folks. We had a number of trees down, especially around the Triangle area, and a few of those up in the north as well. But that's a look at the front coming through. Behind the front, everything is nice and quiet, but we're not going to have an instant clearing. We'll talk more about that coming up. This is a look at the storm reports across the state. The white dots are where we had wind damage, and the blue are where we had some hail. We did have one report of hail up near the Virginia line in Person County. We had a couple of reports of wind damage in Vance County and in Granville County. And then we had, you see that big circle there in Raleigh, in southeast Raleigh, and even closer to downtown Raleigh. We had a couple of trees down. We had some trees down in Johnston County as well. So crews are out trying to clean those up. And, of course, we have our WRL crews in the field talking about those cleanups, and Brian will show you how to get around any backups that those trees are causing. Current power outages, we have a handful there in Granville County and a few over in Edgecombe County. Most of them have been in Wake County and Johnston County this morning, especially where we had those trees down overnight last night. Here's a look at what's happening outside as we take a look west across Wake County. We have some puffy low clouds. We have some clouds that are trying to clear up some mid and high level clouds, and we're going to keep the clouds with us for a while today. You see Futurecast keeping those clouds around. We don't have a strong flow coming out of the northwest until tonight. And with a westerly flow, it's just not going to have enough oomph to really clear things out. So you can see at lunchtime, still some cloud cover, especially down to the south. Another weak front drops across us during the evening. A sprinkle or two with that and a few clouds. But once that moves through, then we're going to open the door to what's going to feel really nice for tomorrow. We're also tracking the weekend. We're going to see increasing storm chances Saturday into Sunday. The big question is the timing of that and exactly what's going to happen. This is Friday. Notice the low pressure system moving up the coast. This version of Futurecast keeps that low offshore, but another version of Futurecast brings some rain in on Friday. It's a brand new run of the computer model, and so we'll see if that continues with future runs, and if it does, we're going to add some rain to the forecast on Friday. The timeline of this is going to be late Saturday into early Sunday, moving on by, and we start to see some clearing in Sunday afternoon, but the timing of that could change. The computer models have not been in great agreement in terms of when we might see that front coming through. So again, we'll be watching that closely. How much rain Saturday into Sunday? It could be an inch in some places. Some of the heavier totals could be in eastern North Carolina. Saturday and Sunday, temperatures will be upper 70s to low 80s, and we're quiet again on Monday and Tuesday. Brian?
All right, 620 right now, Elizabeth. And I've been watching our partners at Waze and also checking in with Raleigh 911 for any reports of any trees down. And it looks like the earlier report we had around Zebulon on 264 eastbound, that has cleared. But just in the past few minutes, we have a report of a road hazard over between Apex and Holly Springs on old Holly Springs Apex Road at Ivy Arbor Way. So keep that in mind there. Also getting reports of a crash in North Raleigh on Lewisburg Road right around the 540 interchange. We're going to get some more details about that one. Taking a look at your major approaches into Durham right now, about a 1 minute delay showing up on the westbound side of 98 coming in from Highway 50 toward 85. And out of Hillsboro on northbound I-85, seeing about a 1 minute slowdown overall.
Thanks, Brian. Cyclists in Durham are remembering others who've been hit and killed while riding. The silent vigil they're planning tonight and their hope for a safer future on the roads.
Also, new developments in the issue of medication abortion. What we could learn today about the future availability of mifepristone.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is not saying, "I'll be back," playing the role of the Terminator.
Brian Schrader now is back with What's Trending.
In fact, he's saying, "I won't be back."
Exactly.
In a new interview, Arnold says he's done playing his most iconic role. He has played the Terminator in 5 movies, the most recent being in 2019. But now he says, even if there's another film in the franchise, he's focusing on other stuff.
Other stuff. I don't even know what that means for him, but I do know that that line that we all say, it's the one he's asked most often to say when he's out in public. It was a mistake. It was done by accident in the movie. He wanted to say, "I will be back." And James Cameron, the director, was like, "No, Arnold, you'll sound like everybody else. Do it this way." I guess he won.
Yes.
Now it's like legendary.
Yeah. You know, for what he was paid, I would say that to anybody that wanted me to say that. Taco Bell wants to liberate Taco Tuesday. You know, it's something we all say. Mm-hmm. It's actually a trademark of one of their competitors, some outfit called Taco John's, which I've never heard of before. Other restaurants that want to use it need to get expressed permission from the company. And now Taco Bell is filing a petition with the patent office to cancel the trademark.
Yeah, Taco John's, another chain out west, but they were the ones who started Taco Tuesday, T-W-O-S-D-A-Y. So that was their way to sell more tacos on Tuesdays, their slowest day of the week, by offering 99 cents for 2 tacos. Well, now we all say it. So now I'm wondering if like TGI Fridays is going to say, "Hey, you can't say TGI Fridays." Who would have thought that's copyrighted?
Right. Taking away all the fun.
Exactly.
Out of it. I'm still going to say it.
All right. You'll soon be able to walk around more of downtown Raleigh with an alcoholic drink in hand. The city council approved an expansion of the Sip and Stroll social district. The expansion adds more of the warehouse district and extends it to the edge of Boylan Heights. The Downtown Raleigh Alliance found more than 3/4 of business owners and people living downtown reported the social district has a positive impact.
Abortion bill changes will soon go into effect. Coming up, what state Republicans are saying about overriding that veto.
And last night, storms are over. Look at this beautiful live sunrise here in Clinton. It's going to feel a little sticky today. I'll show you when the humidity finally starts to drop. Coming up.
And thousands of homes and businesses are without power this morning after powerful overnight storms. This is a live look right now. St. Mary Street in Raleigh, a tree down there. We have team coverage of the cleanup from the Severe Weather Center.